You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Live Podcast. Follow us on Twitter at Fantasy Sports Live. Listen each day on iTunes, TuneIn, Stitcher, or at FantasySportsLive.com. Now, here are your hosts.
Welcome to my podcast. I'm Crazy Gaby. Hi, how are you? I hope you're doing well. I know someone that's doing very well, my co-host Justin, also known as Big Italy 42. Had a nice weekend of R&R, rest and relaxation at the amusement park. How's it going, my friend?
I'm doing well. It's a nice day to be alive.
Well, as is always the case with the rest and relaxation gods, the vacation gods, you get to have your cake, but you definitely don't get to eat it too. You shared an interesting story with me this morning about what happened on the ride home, and myself having children as well. I am no stranger to this tale of woe. Why don't you go ahead and let the people know exactly what you were dealing with this weekend?
We were driving back from Cedar Point up north, and right about the time where we passed the point of no return, where there's nothing for about 50 miles aside from some farmhouses,
right.
My son decides to tell us that he feels like he's going to throw up, and he's three, so you know, three-year-olds like to play games, and they think that things like puke are funny. So we think he's just playing around. Sure enough, about 10 seconds after we pass the final exit, before no man's land, throws up all over himself, all over the car, middle of the freeway. My wife's freaking out. I'm freaking out. We got to pull over to the side of the road, strip him, clean the car. And it was a good 30, 45 minute pit stop to try to sanitize everything. And the poor guy had to pretty much sit not clean until he got home. We just had to wipe him down as good as possible. It's rough.
Yeah, you know what? I'm no stranger to those tales. Been there, done that. Seems like it's almost a rite of passage with children, the road trip vomit story. Everybody has to have one, or you're not a real parent yet. It's like the initiation or the hazing into the fraternity of parenthood.
Yeah. If you haven't had multiple of that story, then you're probably going to be having it worse off, because you'll probably get it when they're older. And I'll take it now rather than when he's eight.
Well, I'll tell you what. If my kid is 8 years old and throws up in the car, I'm just going to leave him wherever he's at. Like, 8 years old, you're big enough, stick your head out the window.
You can clean yourself up.
Yeah, clean yourself up. That's not going to happen with, But anyways, any case, that was an interesting portion of your weekend. I also had an interesting weekend, Justin. I haven't told you this story yet. I got to witness, I'm not a big nature person. I got to witness what could potentially be described as a once-in-a-lifetime nature phenomenon. And given it's one of my intense phobias, I was not thrilled to have witnessed this. We had a carpenter ant emergence happen in our driveway late Saturday night.
So they were having like a revolt, trying to take over your house?
Now, that's what it may sound like, but essentially what it was out of two cracks. You know how the driveways are have like these multiple concrete slabs with the seams in the middle, kind of making like six giant squares?
Yeah.
Okay, so in the seam closest to our garage door, apparently there were two carpenter ants' nests. We always have a lot of ants in our driveway. We're never too sure why. They haven't came in the house, so we haven't worried about it. But I walk outside, and immediately I hear a clicking noise, almost like raindrops. And I'm like, okay, what the hell? It's not raining. Like, that's weird. I walk outside, and out of my driveway, I kid you not, tens of thousands of ants are streaming out of the ground.
Towards your house or away from your house?
Towards my house, right next to my house. So obviously, dude, I am freaking out. I mean beyond freaking out. Like, I'm at the point where, like, you know how sometimes you just throw your hands up in the air and you say, you know, screw this, I'm going home?
Yeah.
Well, that's kind of where I was about it. I was about to just go get a hotel room, just forsake my family and
just sell your house and never come back.
Yeah, new furniture, burn it down, get the insurance money, start a new life, change my name, witness protection, etc., etc. It was terrifying to say the least. Now I got myself educated. You know, daily fantasy sports has taught me a lot. You have to research before you move in on something or you end up regretting it. You know, so the amateur play might have been to just run to the store and grab a bunch of Raid. First of all, don't do that if you have an ant problem. Different ants require different solutions, I have found out. And if you actually spray certain ants with Raid, just, you know, make a topical application, and you don't really get down to the root of the colony, they have these little assholes have built-in defense mechanisms, survival mechanisms, where they will actually, like, send off pheromones to the rest of the colony. Hey, save yourself. This asshole is trying to kill us. And they will disperse and start new colonies, as many colonies as they can.
Wow. So what you're saying is ants are the most selfless insect. They say, I'm going to die, but I'm going to save the rest of you. They're all heroes.
Yeah, they're all heroes. They basically put the survival of the colony over top of everything else. So do not topically treat ants. There are different methods you can use. Call an exterminator, research it yourself. Do not just try to spray Raid on all of them and hope that that's going to take care of it. It doesn't work. So I didn't do that. So my next option was obviously calling an exterminator, but first I wanted to know exactly what I was dealing with. So I took a video, and I found out a couple of interesting things about carpenter ants, and actually the problem ended up taking care of itself. Here's the thing. Carpenter ants have a unique thing called an emergence that takes place once every however many years, and they basically have to make this nest of reproductive ants, and it takes like 2 to 3 years to fully mature, and then on one fateful day, all of these reproductive ants come out of the colony at the same time, and you know they're reproductive ants because only reproductive ones have wings. So they all come out at the same time, fly out. So, I mean, it was literally like tens of thousands of ants with wings flying out of the ground in my driveway.
That sounds horrible. Yeah. I would have just started punching in the air like an idiot.
it was absolutely awful. So anyways, they come out, but here's the lucky thing. The goal of these ants when they come out is to fly as far away from possible as their place of origin. And the males are slightly smaller than the females. Their job is to catch up to and inseminate the females that are flying away, who are doing like whoop-de-loos and whirly-twos and all sorts of crazy barrel dives and everything in the air. So only the fittest males can catch up to them to impregnate them. And on top of that, once the male has done the deed, because most of the males won't even get to do the deed, but once a male has done the deed or the time has run its course, all the males will eventually lose their wings, fall to the ground, and die.
You got to be the fittest, because if you're going to die anyway, you might as well, you know, get to the hot little ant that's flying away first.
Right, exactly. And guess what happens to the females? They also lose their wings, they fall to the ground, and they get to start a new colony as a queen.
That's really sexist. Why is it that the guys have
to die?
It
really is. I don't ever want to hear it. I don't ever want to hear women talking about how males are sexist. We die, okay? We die.
Just for them. To give them beautiful ant babies.
So that is what I found out. And also that clicking noise I talked about earlier that was terrifying, sounded like something out of a horror movie. Whenever they sense danger, like what is this big MF-er doing in the driveway about to crush us all? They start clicking their jaws, their mandibles together, and in unison they make this crazy clicking noise.
They're probably terrified of beards. Yeah. Rightfully so.
Rightfully so. They would have stood no chance had I decided to bring the thunder down. But that was my weekend, Justin. So you and I both had interesting times, diverse experiences, but interesting nonetheless.
Yeah. A little bit too much excitement for my taste. Let's hope that this coming weekend is a little more relaxing.
Well, I know that this week is going to be exciting. We're not going to be able to get away from the excitement today because guess what, Justin? You and I going live 6 o'clock Eastern Standard Time tonight with Fantasy Sports Live. That's right, live streaming. We're going to be going over each and every lineup that comes out. We're going to be telling you which plays to look out for, which plays you need to have in your lineup, and which guys to stay away from. So make sure you check in at fantasysportslive.com at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time tonight. You're not going to want to miss this. We're going to bring you a live resource to help you build your lineups in real time. Exciting stuff, huh, my friend?
Absolutely. Going to be groundbreaking. So pretty much we do all the work for you in the morning, and then we do all the work again for you at night. So just take a nap, come back later.
That's a good idea. Can I do that? Can you just do all the work for me for the live show?
Yeah. Well, for today, and we'll alternate. Tomorrow I get a nap.
I think that's a good idea, actually. There might be some merit to that, so let's discuss that after the podcast.
Yeah.
Looking at the big winners from this weekend over at draftday.com, had the 109 Field of Dreams big winners, MT Real Talk, Napster Man, and Run It Up. Some common names there. Congratulations to all of you. Who else did we have taking down some money?
We had Honey Badger, Xareezy, Run It Up again. Then we also had DB Salton, Xareezy again, Matt Goody, MD0530, All of It 29, Hoop 2410, Matt Goody, and that's it. I almost did the same thing with the fifth spot. But that's
yeah,
it.
I was gonna say I was actually waiting for it. I was gonna give you shit for it, but you actually held back. Yeah. So congratulations to all of you. The $15 Knuckleball Tournament, another tournament that I hold near and dear to my heart. We had MT Real Talk taking it down, had a nice lineup on Friday night. Fry Islander and Upper Deckers rounding out the weekend winners, or at least first place finishers. Let me know who the rest of our winners were in that $15 Knuckleball Tournament.
Safety 14, Honey Badger, Matt Trust 223, TTP EOG Champ, AB 13, Panderson 423, my new favorite name in the industry, Belter Snatch. Just incredible. Lord's Epic, Run It Up, 24 Hoop 2410, and Matt Goody.
Oh, man. It looks like you left out Petty Cashman as well, tying for fifth place on Saturday.
My apologies, Petty Cashman.
You just like to start feuds left and right with people on this portion of the podcast.
Love Twitter hate.
Love 330 it. Wiz Walk-Off, a beloved tournament. Lots of entries can be put into this one. Affordable price point so you won't break the bank. We saw Old Irish, Napster Man, and JoJo218 taking that one down on the three featured contest this weekend. Who else did we have winning some big money for little buy-ins?
We had AT Frost, Matt Trust 223, Mike T 2412, Big Rob Nuts, Backslider, D Clan F, Jordan H 415, Skeeter 1114, Jordan H 415 again, F Ball Junkie twice, and Run It Up.
All right, very nicely done. All of our big winners in the Draft Day featured contest. And I would be remiss if I did not remind you the 109 Field of Dreams can be had for only $5.50. That's right. Don't have to pay $109. Who pays full price anyways? There are qualifiers starting as low as $5.50 each and every night. It is my favorite way to enter this contest. It should become your favorite way as well. Another favorite of yours should be Rapid Fire and Rapid Fire Max games, especially if you've never tried Daily Fantasy Sports. You're wondering, what the hell are these guys doing talking about ants and vomit at the beginning of a Daily Fantasy Sports podcast? Well, I can understand your frustration. Now, if you had already known about Rapid Fire and Rapid Fire Max, you could have just headed over there and you could have taken a look at that. And trust me, it is hands down the easiest way to learn and one of the most fun ways to play. Just five groupings of players. You got to pick one of the two. You'll know what I'm talking about. Head to draftday.com. Click at the top of the screen for more information on Rapid Fire. Now we're on to the good part, the part I know you guys are waiting for. We have the Daily Fantasy Baseball Analysis. Looking at weather concerns today, only one game. There were a few with 20 and 30%, but anyway, basically it has to be over 30% chance for me to really even give it much thought this early in the day, simply because, you know, so much happens over the next 8-9 hours that it's really difficult to predict, and most of the time those 30% chance or less games just end up happening anyways because windows will open up here and there. But St. Louis at Colorado, 40% chance of rain. Has to be the one game where I know everybody's going to be wanting to pick players from. Of course, anything in Coors Field is like that. So just keep an eye on Colorado. That doesn't look too threatening. That should clear up by lineup time. And if nothing else, you can take hitters and not pitchers, which you should be doing anyways at a game in Coors Field. Now, the Vegas information for today. Got a couple of lines that stuck out, but only 10 games total and not as many interesting scenarios. So we can get through this rather quickly. Got San Diego Padres at San Francisco Giants. Now, this one stood out to me and is interesting because it's a 6.5 over-under. And Matt Cain is the minus 135 favorite. And I don't know how to pronounce the other pitcher's name. Do you have any idea here?
Andrew Cashner?
I thought it was Odrisimar Despaigne or Despaigne.
I keep seeing conflicting things. I was looking at it this morning. I thought that it was Cashner. And then now I'm seeing whatever the hell that guy's name is.
Yeah. You know, I'll chalk that up to you still being a little bit out of sorts from the vacation plus the subsequent mess in the car.
Yes.
But I don't know how to pronounce this name, but Vegas says that this should be a very low game, both because of the park and it looks like the pitcher's taking the mound. So I'm going to go ahead and say that Odrisimar Despaigne, go with that, might be a decent source of value. And Matt Cain, of course, not a high strikeout guy, so his upside is limited. But if you're looking for a cheap play at draftday.com, that looks like he has a pretty safe bet to at least pick up the win, if not have a quality outing. I think Matt Cain, you could do worse than him.
Yeah, I agree.
Oh, you agree?
Yes.
Well, thank you very much. Boston at Seattle. King Felix, my favorite king, by the way. No offense to you, LeBron James. -148 favorite and a 6.5 over-under game. This one has actually another pitcher on the other side of the bump that should have a pretty good outing as well. John Lackey is a +138, so he's definitely not the favorite here. You know, King Felix, a -148, he commands that sort of Vegas odds when he takes the mound. But I don't think you could go wrong with either pitcher in this one, seeing as it's a 6.5 over-under game and one of the best pitcher's parks in Major League Baseball. So I feel like you could definitely target anyone in that one. Pittsburgh at Tampa Bay. Alex Cobb, -150 favorite. Still a little hesitant to trust the guy, but look, he's in a great spot here. Pittsburgh is slightly above league average against right-handed pitchers, but they should be able to get the job done. Pitcher's Park in Tampa Bay, and it's only a 7-run over-under. So I think with the heavy strikeout potential, you can put your faith in Alex Cobb, and we're going to get to him in just a second, actually. Another spoiler alert. Love to do those here on the show. Last situation, Los Angeles Dodgers at Kansas City Royals. Normally, on any other given day, Zach Greinke would be a top play. Unfortunately, the Royals just don't strike out enough for you to really tap into that potential. And he's been pitching a little worse over his past month of starts than he was to start the season. That's not to say he's not a solid option tonight, just not somebody I'm willing to pay up for. And this one does have a 7.5 run over-under. Kansas City does not really strike out. And I think there are just better options around the league. What do you think?
I'm with you there. I won't be using Greinke at all tonight, not at that price point. If he was down around 14 or 15,000, maybe, but 18,000, I don't think he's worth that price at all.
Yeah, most people don't realize it, but Kansas City actually is one is actually the best team in the major league at avoiding strikeouts, and it's actually not even close how few strikeouts they allow compared to the next closest team. So I tend to stay away from pitchers playing against Kansas City, especially on draft day, just where the strikeout potential, we talk about it all the time. You need that strikeout upside in order for your lineups to really hit big, especially in the tournaments.
Yep, and not to mention the fact that Kansas City's actually been hitting the ball recently. So that's double negative against Zach Greinke tonight.
Yeah, I agree. So that's your weather, your Vegas lines, and now it's time for my five guys, courtesy of Josh Shepherdson's Picks to Quick article. Dude absolutely kills it every day. Make sure you head to fantasysportslive.com. Check out that article just as soon as you're finished listening to this podcast. Don't do it right now, because then you won't be paying attention to me, and I'm too much of a narcissist to handle that. I can't do it. Make sure you stick here until I'm done talking words and stuff. First player, Alex Cobb, 14,250. You talked about wanting to find a pitcher in that price range, not really willing to pay up for Zach Greinke's price tag. I think Alex Cobb is the perfect swerve there. You know, like a lot of people like to say pivot, right? That's a big term in the daily fantasy industry. I like swerve.
Yeah. I think you should start using swerve, because everybody goes with all the typical terms, you know, contrarian, things like that. But I like swerve. It's exciting. It's hip.
Yeah, I know. You know what? And pivot just isn't very exciting of a word, to be honest with you.
No, pivot just sounds like a boring post move. I mean, an effective one probably, but boring.
Yeah. It's the reason that Tim Duncan doesn't have deals with Nike.
Yeah, well, that and he doesn't want him.
You really think so?
Oh, yeah. He said plenty of times that he's turned down hundreds of millions of dollars in endorsements because he doesn't like the spotlight.
Yeah, I can definitely see that. But anyways, this is not about Tim Duncan, even though you would love it to be every day. I shouldn't have thrown you that fodder. That's my mistake.
Everything is about Tim Duncan.
It's funny because I'm actually, you know, we record this through Skype. I'm actually sitting here, you know, your Skype picture is Tim Duncan hugging Manu Ginobili. So just to shed some perspective on what I'm saying here. People should realize that you would talk about Tim Duncan every day if you could.
And I do.
Yeah, and you do. This is very true. So Alex Cobb, some of your peripherals. 22.8% strikeout percentage, 7.6 base on ball rate, very small percentage. And what we really like here today is the 53.6% ground ball rate. Just a great metric for measuring how effective somebody can be at keeping the ball in the park. You partner that up with the Pittsburgh Pirates, who can be hot and cold from time to time, especially if they're not facing a left-handed pitcher. If they're facing a lefty, I'm a little more hesitant, but against a righty, they can definitely be tamed. And that shows in their 20.4% strikeout percentage. They are 3% better than league average at generating runs against right-handed pitchers, but I'll go ahead and look the other way on that just because of the strikeout potential. Alex Cobb could probably give up 3, maybe even 4 earned runs. As long as he's punching out 8-9 batters, you're able to live with that, so it's not too big of a deal. It's also worth mentioning that his ground ball percentage of 53.6% is 19th highest among starting pitchers that have thrown 50 or more innings this year, so he's certainly in the mix for top pitching option, not just top value option. How are you feeling about Cobb tonight?
I love Cobb tonight. He was one of those guys that I was already looking at, and then I saw that Josh was on him, and just solidified my confidence in Alex Cobb tonight. I'll be all over him.
All right, there you have it. You two can get a room while the rest of us go ahead and build our lineups.
Are you paying?
I'll go ahead and get with our brass about that and see if they can pony up. You know, I'm sure if we could get a podcast out of it, I'm sure they would. Like, if you could get a bedside talk with them, they would definitely be down with that.
Yeah, I just don't know how that conversation with Alex Cobb would go. Hey, can you meet me in a hotel room so I can interview you? Just you and me.
You know what? Do whatever you got to do. It could be To Catch a Predator style if it needed to.
Yeah, intervention.
All right. Catcher, top pick, actually. Jared Saltalamacchia. Is that how you say that name? This is a name I always mess up.
I always said Saltalamacchia. Saltalamacchia. That's right.
Listen, it sounds cool. I am the, you know what, one thing, you know, one skill that's really good for a sports analyst to have? It's being able to say names correctly. You know what I don't have the ability to do? Is say names correctly.
It's the toughest thing. I mean, you see on all these broadcasts, you know, especially things like World Cup and all these Cuban players and all the new players from overseas, there's got to be a time before each broadcast where they sit them down and say, hey, this guy, say it this way. Don't mess this up.
I'm sure they do, and that's probably what I should do as well. But look, you know, quality is not what we're concerned about here. It's quantity over quality. I'm not even sure where the quantity lies, but well, I'm just going to call him Salty for reference here. Basically, my ambition when it comes to pronouncing names ended after I mastered Giannis Antetokounmpo, and I'm not really sure if I'm ever going to work that hard on a name again. I sat there for about 15 minutes on YouTube listening to announcers say his name over and over again.
I actually have never heard anyone say that name. I always just see the alphabet.
Yeah, Giannis Antetokounmpo, man. So Salty, 6,500. Abysmal, even though he's a switch hitter, abysmal against right-handed pitching. Just absolutely awful. I'm sorry, against left-handed pitching. My apologies there. But he actually has figured out righties very well. Since 2011, 1,139 plate appearances, batting .254, .321, .487. With 117 weighted runs created, that means he's 17% above league average against right-handed pitching. And this year, 151 plate appearances and a 116 weighted runs created, so he's right in line. No dip, no spike. He's just basically chugging right along where he needs to be. And what really works out in his favor today, though, is against right-handed pitching, he lifts the ball off the ground very well. Has a 42.3% fly ball rate, basically means 42.3% of the time he is putting the ball in the air as opposed to on the ground. And he has ripped line drives at 24.3%, which is even more impressive. You take a look at Citizens Bank Park, where he's going to be hitting tonight against the awful Roberto Hernandez. He gets a 129 park factor. That means the park is 29% more likely to give up a home run on any given night to a left-handed batter. All signs point towards Salty being an excellent play this evening, especially at a price tag that won't break the bank.
Yeah, he's ridiculously cheap. For anyone, there is no one even near that price that I'm even considering tonight. So, yeah, I think that however you say his name, Jared, Salty, I think he's a steal.
Yeah, Salty balls. Can I say that on air? I hope the FCC doesn't, send a complaint back our way. But, oh well, I'll deal with that if it happens. Right now, all of you listeners can deal with Matt Adams at $8,250 and 0 cents, I guess, is what I should say. Against right-handed pitching since 2012, when we began gathering metrics on this fine young specimen, 523 plate appearances, .317, .356, .528 slash line with 147 weighted runs created, 47% better than the league average hitter against right-handed pitching. And this year, his stats have just gone through the roof. Though he's really taken a step forward, 186 plate appearances with 163 weighted runs created. Now, I do expect that to fall a little bit closer to his mean of 147 weighted runs created, but I do also think he's made some great strides. Not just hitting for power anymore, hitting for a very, very high average this season. And as he's done in the past, he's hit for contact as well, but not with the way he's done it this year. I think he's just seeing the pitchers better. And if you take a look at Coors Field, obviously everybody knows, just a monster park for home run hitters. I think Jules Chasson's days are numbered. I think he's definitely going to get rocked tonight.
Yeah, I'm with you on that one, especially a guy like Adams. Like you said, he's got tremendous power, cheap price, and the best hitter's park in all of baseball. So, yeah, he's an awesome play tonight.
All right, so you probably know this name, and I want you to tell me if I get it right here, all right?
Okay.
Deion Viciedo.
I said Viciedo.
Viciedo. Okay, there we go.
I promise... I should be wrong also. I just like to stick with, if I'm wrong, I want to be consistently wrong. I don't want to change it up. If I'm wrong, I'm wrong.
Okay, look, folks, ladies and gentlemen, I promise you, you know, we started this podcast during baseball season. I watch a ton of basketball and football, just not so much the baseball. I definitely get in recaps. I check out the highlights and that sort of thing. Don't have a chance to watch all. Like, I'm a family man. You know, half the year I'm completely consumed watching games. I swear the names will get better as the season goes on. And I promise you, from the bottom of my heart, I will not attempt a hockey name.
No, I won't be doing that either. My thing with those names is I watch a lot of the games, whatever's on MLB Network and ESPN games and things like that, but I just don't like most announcers. Most of them irritate me, so I watch it with the sound off. So that's probably my disadvantage there.
Okay. I think that's a very fair assessment. So anyways, I'm just going to call him Deion. Is it Deion? Deion?
Deion? I think Deion. We'll just call him D.
D. Big D. Big D on Chicago for the White Sox. And... since 2011 versus left-handed pitching, 353 plate appearances, batting .310, .357, .520 with 135 weighted runs created. Numbers have dipped a little bit this year in 67 plate appearances with 108 weighted runs created, but we like the long sample size better than the short-term one, so we do believe still he is an excellent hitter against left-handed pitching. And basically, Chin, Mr. Chin for the Baltimore Orioles, this guy just really, really struggles getting out right-handed batters. He can't keep the ball out of the air. I think that this is going to be a tee-off party against him tonight.
Yeah, I could see that. There's a ton of power in that White Sox lineup. So any of those guys, 1 through 6, really could go yard at any time, especially in that matchup.
Yeah, I'm a huge fan of White Sox bats tonight, and the best part is you can get them for cheap for the most part. You can take your pick of the right-handed ones that they insert into the lineup. Maybe Paul Konerko gets put in there, and not Paul Konerko, but Adam Dunn. Yeah, he can't hit left-handed pitching. I don't know what I'm talking about. Anyways, don't listen to me. It's early in the morning. Haven't had coffee yet. First mistake right there. Second mistake was not looking at YouTube before pronouncing these names. But here's a guy's name. I like Corey Dickerson for the simple fact that he keeps it simple. His parents knew one day he would be getting talked about on podcasts throughout the nation, and they decided to give him a name that would be easily pronounceable.
And for that, we thank them.
$10,900. A little expensive. And the thing I like about Corey Dickerson is because the management in Colorado has been so inept about putting him in the lineup for the past, you know, one-plus seasons, he's basically kind of stayed as a hidden commodity. So when he goes to a price tag this high, a lot of people are hesitant to, you know, pay the same price for him as they would for, like, a Ryan Braun or something. But the numbers tell us he's absolutely worth it. Since last year in 307 plate appearances versus right-handed pitching, he is slashing .319, .366, .588 with 146 weighted runs created. Absolutely ridiculous. And this season in particular has just been off the charts. He's actually been a top 10 hitter in baseball against right-handed pitching. 134 plate appearances, 194 weighted runs created. That's absurd. That means he is almost twice as good as the average league hitter against right-handed pitching.
Yeah, he's been an absolute monster. I'm with you, and I'm speechless on the times that he's not in the lineup, especially with the injuries that they've had in that outfield. I just don't understand why he's not playing every day.
Or they we'll put him seventh or eighth or something like that.
No respect.
He's finally batting second for the most part against right-handed pitching, as he should be, second, third, fourth, somewhere in there. I mean, it's absolutely absurd. You know, I talked to Josh on Friday about this, actually, how there was one point where they sat Willian Rosario against a left-handed pitcher and they played Justin Morneau, and then they sat Morneau against a right-handed pitcher and played Willian Rosario in back-to-back days.
They've got a dyslexic manager.
Yeah, it's absolutely absurd. Like, at this point, to be honest with you, anybody who's not jumped on the bandwagon as far as sabermetrics are concerned should not be coaching in Major League Baseball.
Agreed.
It's absolutely ridiculous. I can understand 10 years ago when all these old school guys, you know, were grumbling, "Oh, it's about the eye test. It's not about the numbers." Well, I'm sorry, my friends. It is about the numbers, especially with baseball more than any other sport. So get with the program, or you don't need to have a job.
Numbers never lie.
It's like all those people that didn't want to learn how to use computers. No, no, no. We're going to use our card catalog at the library. We don't need that.
Yeah, yeah. They never wanted to get on board, and now everybody who didn't is way, way behind.
Yeah, and then consequently, any person 50-plus who has computer skills is in high demand because there's just not as many people out there that should that have the experience in those fields. But and again, these are like Freakonomics podcast topics. We shouldn't be talking about this here. I'm very good at derailing the subjects. My guys, Alex Cobb, Jared Salty, Salta Lamakia, Matt Adams, Dayon Viciedo, and Corey Dickerson. My five guys pulled from Josh Shepherdson's Picks to Click article. Justin, you've got 2 cents for us here today. Tell us who needs to be in our lineups.
I am picking on Gio Gonzalez today. And reason being is...
I'm telling him.
Please do. I don't think he can prove me wrong tonight. Right. His ground ball percentage is just 38.5% this year. He's walking almost 4 batters per 9 innings. And if he qualified, then he would have the 7th worst adjusted ERA, which, if you're not familiar with that, it's taking into account weather, ballpark, location, things like that. So it basically it levels the playing ground for players.
The playground? It levels the jungle gym. The jungle gym is now level. The swings, all of it.
All of it. Anyway, but it basically takes into account all the factors playing in a hitter's park, pitcher's park, etc. And he's been one of the worst pitchers in all of baseball. And people are looking at his name, and they're going to be playing him. And I picked on him last time. He wasn't terrible, but I'm liking these Brewers bats against him tonight. Starting with Aramis Ramirez, who anyone who's been playing over the past week knows that he's just been absolutely on fire. His last 4 games, 23, 43, 44, 43. He's just killing it. He has a 484 wOBA against left-handers with a 212 weighted runs created. And he's just a guy that's crushing the ball right now. And he's not a household name, but I think in the industry he is. He'll probably be a highly owned guy again tonight. But I think in that matchup, you would be a fool to not at least consider him for some of your lineups.
Strong words spoken by Justin here. I'm definitely going to give consideration. And as you were talking, I pulled up Gio Gonzalez's player card. He has not been great, especially his last 3 starts. And I'll take the Brewers versus left-handed pitching against everyone but maybe Chris Sale and Clayton Kershaw.
Yeah, I'm with you there. And I think that they could even – there may be one guy who would get to one of those guys, but, I mean, I wouldn't be stacking them. But against Gonzalez, I think that they're all in play.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think Gonzalez is easy to pick on tonight. What else you got?
Another guy, and this is not necessarily based on statistics. It's partially a hunch play. Mark Reynolds.
It's about the eye test.
Yeah, the eye test. Mark Reynolds, not a good hitter in general, but what I've been noticing about him, he is a guy that saws a lot of power. He has 13 home runs on the year, and you know I don't need to go more into why I'm targeting Gio. However, Mark Reynolds is batting 275 with runners in scoring position, which I know is not a good number. But if you look at his walk to strikeout ratios, when there's runners in scoring position, he has 11 walks to 16 strikeouts, whereas he has 9 walks to 41 strikeouts with the bases empty. So, like I said, not a good hitter, but he's a guy with a lot of power, and he's a much more patient hitter with runners in scoring position and men on base. So, he at 7,600, I think he's a guy that, you know, I anticipate a lot of guys being on base tonight against Gio, and I think he could be the guy batting low in the order that brings him home that no one's going to be on.
Yeah, and if you want some exposure to this game, you know, you want to get a couple of Milwaukee Brewers bats. Kind of difficult, especially at this point in the season, to have too many of them in your lineup because they're so expensive. So Mark Reynolds represents an excellent way to get exposure to the potential run-scoring fiasco that's going to take place without having to break the bank.
Yep, and you can play him first base or third base, so he's got the versatility also.
What a trooper. That guy, let me tell you.
Love him.
All right, so that is you know, our baseball analysis. We have, the Daily Fantasy Baseball Picks to Click by Josh Shepherdson. Head over to FantasySportsLive.com and check that out as soon as you possibly can. Also got another excellent piece of content coming out today. We're going to have our very own Jessica Kleinschmidt releasing a fantasy football player profile telling you about the prospects of one Trent Richardson later on. Later in this year. Of course, football's not happening now, but what can you expect once the season starts? Should you be targeting Trent Richardson? Should you not be? She's going to have all of the answers. Also have a kick-ass podcast I recorded with Mike Gallagher from Roto-World fame this past weekend. We're talking free agents, where we think they're going to go, how it's going to impact the daily fantasy basketball landscape, as well as what we think about the draft, what teams might do, and how that might affect the daily fantasy basketball landscape as well. More than ever, teams are slotting rookies in and giving them playing time right from the get-go, especially with some of these really bad teams at the top. So it could be some interesting fantasy implications to start the season. We want to arm you with that knowledge. You can check out both of those extra pieces coming out today. Now, last thing I got to talk to you guys about, as always, is my league. And I'm a little upset. All of you weren't there. I need you all to be there. Listen, friends, I run this league for you. I do it because I want us to have a little moment to share together. And when you're not there, it just doesn't feel right. Now, maybe you're asking, what the hell is this guy rambling about? Well, it's my Fantasy Sports Live League at draftday.com. Super simple to enter. Just head over to fantasysportslive.com, click on the today's podcast update article, and you scroll down to the bottom. You're going to see an invitation for you to join the Fantasy Sports Live League. Super simple. I have double up contests that run Monday through Friday called my Five Guys Game. Pays out like a normal double up, but the top five players get qualified for a free roll on Saturday. That pays out to the top five players. Going to be an absolutely excellent time. It's always good fun. I didn't make it this last weekend, so I'm a little bitter. At least Justin didn't make it in the money, or else I would have had to listen to him gloating about it all week.
Yeah, no, I paid up for Mike Trout. He was one of my expensive guys, and he had the one bad game he's had in the past month. So I've got bad timing for that one.
Yeah, well, you know what? I'm definitely happy about that. Not that Mike Trout had a bad game, but that you weren't able to cash in. Looks like on Friday night we had Jordan H415, MD0530, Dan Traveler, Fantasy Drive, and JF7623, taking down the last five spots to Saturday's free roll. And then the Saturday free roll saw Toast Jones 21 take down first place. MD0530 took down second and third place. Then Fantasy Drive and Jordan H415 took down the rest of the money. Congratulations to all of you. Thanks for participating in the Fantasy Sports Live League, and I look forward to seeing all of you back there again very soon. I am Crazy Gaby. He is Big Italy 42. And we are out for today. Make sure you head to fantasysportslive.com, 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, to check out the live show. We're going to be bringing you all the updates you need on weather, lineups, and maybe some vomit and bees again. What do you think?
Maybe bees, but not vomit. No, thanks.
All right. Peace out, everyone.